Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, Ukraine and the United States are working productively on an economic deal at the centre of an effort to end Russia's war in Ukraine, President Volodymyr Zelensky has said. Taoiseach Micheál Martin told a conference of European and international leaders in Kyiv that Ireland will contribute more financially to Ukraine on all fronts. We're joined now by Minister of State for European Affairs and Defence, Thomas Byrne, and also the British Ambassador to Ireland, Paul Johnston, and you're both very welcome. And Minister, I'll come to yourself first. And firstly, on the anniversary of 3 years of intense fighting, what do you make of what we've seen over the last 3 years?
What we've seen is absolutely horrific. The people of Ukraine have suffered grievously and enormously in terms of people that have died, buildings destroyed, children kidnapped and moved into Russia and Russified. I think it's just horrific as to what's happening. It caused major problems economically around the world, a major migration crisis as well, that's not necessarily over yet. And this is all because of what Putin has done. He decided to invade this country, I think, not expecting the resistance to be so strong from the Ukrainians. But what is any country going to do if they're invaded by somebody else?
The Taoiseach has said that Ireland is going to increase its financial aid to Ukraine on all fronts. How much are we giving at the moment and how much will the increase be?
Well, look, there's significant money has been given over the last number of years, and that has been given towards humanitarian projects. It's been given towards non-lethal military assistance. There's some foreign aid given, for example, in terms of building bomb shelters in the place for schools. We've been involved with Lithuania in doing that. And it's that type of really essential work that we've been heavily involved in. In terms of military assistance to Ukraine, the European peace facility has been stalled for the past while because of Hungarian objections. And we are certainly looking at ways to overcome that in terms of continuing to give some of the assistance that we've already given. And that's only going to increase, particularly if we can get peace. And if we can get reconstruction of the country going on, I think that would be very, very important. But make no mistake, this is really, really important for all of us, for our freedoms. And if you're talking, and I will be talking, I'm here in Brussels, I'll be meeting my Eastern European colleagues and Central European colleagues tomorrow. I mean, they're really, really afraid of what Putin might do. And they really feel the need to protect themselves and to massively ramp up their security. And this is a theme I'm hearing from countries like Sweden, Finland, Lithuania, Poland, Latvia, Estonia, all of those countries there are really making preparations to make sure that they are as protected as they can be.
And just again, in terms of what Ireland is doing and that pledge from the Taoiseach to increase our financial aid to Ukraine on all fronts, is there a number here as to how much we're going to increase it by, or what the final number will be?
I don't have that number, okay. And that number would not have been determined yet. I mean, the Taoiseach is determined to increase support. We were to give more support under the European Peace Facility, and that didn't work out because of Hungarian objections. So there will be more support. We've also given, as everyone knows, and the country has given, huge support to the refugees who come to this country as well.
Yeah. Cutting some of those supports in the next couple of weeks, but that is a separate conversation.
They have been given and they acknowledge this extraordinary support by this country.
When the Taoiseach says on all fronts and in all areas, presumably that's with the exception of funding for weapons or anything that would be used in conflict.
Well, it's our policy not to provide lethal equipment. I'm not saying it is possible to give equipment that could be used in conflict, all right, in terms
like helmets,
of defensive.
Is it?
Protection and all of that can be done, but we've our policy has been not to give lethal equipment. But as I said, we've also done things like build bomb shelters for children in schools. I mean, this is how bad this situation is, and Ireland has been to the fore in some of those relief efforts. And again, I met the Deputy Prime Minister of Ukraine last week. I'm very, very pleased with Micheál Martin. Is back as Taoiseach, because she knows there'll be a consistent policy in support, not just of Ukraine, but of Western democracy. That's what they are fighting. Mm. And we have a completely autocratic state to the east of Ukraine, that's Russia, who don't like the way we live our lives. And that is the simple reality of this conflict.
When you say you're there, as you say, in Brussels, and a lot of countries are afraid about what the future might hold, and a lot of talk about increasing defence spending, and I know that has come from the very highest levels in the EU to increase defence spending. Is that something the Irish government agrees with, and is that something that we'll obviously be contributing to then?
Well, we've already agreed to do it in the programme for government. So we need to do this anyway. So apart from whatever is happening at European level, and it is happening, and there's huge discussions about this, but our soldiers need to be paid more. We need more soldiers and Defence Forces members. We need better equipment. We've talked about radar and other basic functions that we don't really have at the moment. So we've got to ramp it up anyway in order that we have even, you know, I won't call it a basic, but a functioning military, which you know, has been difficult up to now. And that's committed to in the programme for government, and it does entail a significant increase in defence spending, I think about 40%. So that's going to happen. And that will certainly equip our soldiers with better equipment. There may be other moves afoot at a European level as well, and we will be part of those discussions when that situation arises.
And what are those other moves?
Well, there may well be decisions to be, I mean, there is certainly discussion to be had about what the European Union does collectively, whether that's through our common budget or whether that's through a type of a bond structure that the European Union could borrow money in terms of acquiring the capacity for individual countries to defend themselves. And those discussions are going to be happening and really have started to happen in the last while. I think I've become more urgent because of the uncertainty across the Atlantic. I think that's fair to say. And we will have, you will hear a lot, I suppose, at the Leaders' Summit next week, and indeed at the European Council as well, which will take place in March.
And do you, if Ireland was involved as in that as part of a as part of the EU, as a member of the EU, does that not cause problems then over our position of neutrality if we're involved in borrowing for procuring
weapons?
We
will not be joining NATO. I mean, that's the question.
But go on, yeah.
But it is a fundamental part of our neutrality that we're not part of military alliances. Like, we were not neutral politically between Ukraine and Russia. We've been very, very clear, and the public have been fully on board with that. But we're not going to be joining NATO. But we are members of the European Union.
Yes.
And if our fellow member states, you know, feel the need, and they genuinely do feel the need to massively ramp up their own security arrangements, then I think that we shouldn't be there as a block to that. We should be supporting those countries and making sure that we are all, including ourselves, protected to the best possible degree. That's a fundamental function of any state. And we've seen a country like Ukraine, which is under serious threat through land war, but there's also the possibility of cyber attacks, which happen on a regular basis. There's been a number of examples in the public sector, lots of examples in the private sector that haven't actually been publicised too much. And we have the whole issue, of course, of the undersea cables as well. So this isn't all about, you know, the usual tropes about war, although we've seen that in Ukraine. But there's so many more aspects to our European defence and our national defence here in Ireland that we certainly have to ramp up. And our defence, let make no mistake about it, our defence policy is a national policy. It is the Irish government that has decided to increase our defence spending, following on from the Commission for the Defence Forces and the Programme for Government.
I know, I understand that. Yeah. It's more the European defence.
That's not a European.
Yes, it's the European aspect.
Well, we can't join a European defence without a referendum, so we won't be joining a European defence, a common defence platform a la NATO. But we certainly could be involved in discussions that are taking place at the European level, and the Taoiseach has already been involved in those discussions about how Europe best protects itself. But that is not the same thing as getting involved in a common defence where, if one is attacked, there's an automatic obligation to support the other.
And just a very final question on that. Do you foresee any such referendum, given everything that's happened? No, you don't think there's any need for that. All right.
I don't, but what I do foresee is a significant ramping up of this country's defence capabilities, and that is something that I think as a government we're obliged to do, and as a people we should be proud to do.
All right, Minister Thomas Byrne, thank you very much for joining us. I mentioned we also have the British Ambassador to Ireland, Paul Johnston, on the line. And Ambassador, you're welcome. Firstly, I might just get your reaction to what Mr. Thomas Byrne has been saying there, because I know you also believe Europe must act together now.
Well, I agree with everything Thomas Byrne said. Good afternoon, Sarah. It is a generational moment for Europe and a big challenge for European security, probably the biggest we've seen since the end of the Cold War. This was a completely unprovoked and unjustified attack. We share the widespread wish that the war should end as soon as possible, of course, but there's a good way to end a war and there's a bad way to end a war, as history has shown. And so we need to end a war in a way that preserves sovereignty and independence in Ukraine, is a just and durable peace, and deters Russia from ever trying this ever again. And that's the focus of my Prime Minister's efforts over the coming days and weeks.
And as part of those efforts, of course, he's meeting the US President on Thursday to discuss the war in Ukraine. And I know former US Secretary of State John Kerry has been warning that Keir Starmer has, quote, a very tough hand to play when he meets Donald Trump in the White House. What will be the strategy?
So the Prime Minister is clear that we share the American administration's desire to end this conflict for exactly the same reasons. We accept the challenge that the American administration have handed down, that Europe needs to do more for its own security. That's something we've been saying for a long time. We want to see a strengthened European contribution to NATO. We are increasing our defence spending from 2.3% of GDP, which is at the moment, to 2.5% of GDP. That's a massive investment, tens of billions of pounds every year. Not an easy thing to do, given the financial circumstances my country faces, but it's the right thing to do. And I think we are showing real leadership in that endeavour. So we need to do several things. We need to continue to equip Ukraine for as long as it takes so that they can negotiate from a position of strength. We need to continue to put pressure on Russia. We've introduced a big new sanctions programme today. And we need to present a united front as Europe and as the West in making sure that when we move into peace negotiations, we do so in the right way with the right outcome in mind.
And in terms of what Keir Starmer is going to be saying then to Donald Trump, for example, Donald Trump insisting several times that Volodymyr Zelensky was to blame for failing to prevent the war, saying that Russia could have been talked out of invading Ukraine. Will Keir Starmer be raising that with him?
Well, the Prime Minister has been absolutely clear in his public statements in the last few days that the dictator Putin is solely responsible for the war. He could end it immediately if he wanted to withdraw his troops and enter into meaningful negotiations. We're absolutely clear that President Zelensky is a legitimate representative of his people. The Prime Minister mentioned in his call with Zelensky the other day that it was perfectly reasonable that Ukraine hasn't had elections in the recent past because they've been at war. They've been at war, not of a war of their choosing, but a war of national survival.
Okay, so all of that is in direct contradiction to what Donald Trump has said. But at the same time, I know a spokesperson for the Prime Minister told reporters this afternoon that Donald Trump has changed the conversation around the war, quote, absolutely for the better. Is that really the position of the Prime Minister, given suggestions that the war could end on favourable terms to Russia from Donald Trump? And this is what we're seeing at the moment, that Donald Trump's been bullying, really, Volodymyr Zelensky to agree a minerals deal on pro-US terms.
I think the Prime Minister said in the G7 discussion with President Zelensky, which both President Trump and President Macron took part in today, that the American administration had, I think his phrase was, changed the global conversation over Ukraine in recent days and weeks. I think in two respects, one, by putting new urgency into the timetable for ending the war, which of course we welcome, and two, also by making clear that Europe should be making a greater contribution to our collective security, which we also fully accept. What the Prime Minister has also said is that Britain would be prepared to put boots on the ground in Ukraine as part of a wider force to make sure that the ceasefire and the peace was durable and sustainable, but that would require an American involvement of some kind as well, because that transatlantic security dimension is critical to ensuring that we have a sustainable peace, because that's critical to deterring Russia from further illegal behaviour.
A few days ago, Donald Trump said that Emmanuel Macron and Keir Starmer haven't done anything to end the war in Ukraine. Is he right about that?
Well, the war in Ukraine has not ended, but that's been a collective failure, if you like. And what we're now seeing is new energy being put into the effort of bringing an end to the war. What we've been, I think, in a leading role in doing, and Irish ministers have acknowledged this publicly and privately, is providing support to Ukraine. So my government has provided, I think it's something like 15 billion euros of support to Ukraine, humanitarian, military, energy, infrastructure, over the last 3 years. We're committed to supporting Ukraine with at least £3 billion a year of support until at least 2030. Those are very big commitments for a country that's financially quite straitened, but that speaks to the leadership role we've played.
All right, Ambassador, thank you very much for joining us on the programme this evening. That is British Ambassador to Ireland, Paul Johnston.